Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Nobody gets in her ear and says it's Catalpa.
Catalapa? Are you kidding me?
Like 7 or 8 times. Now, this is driving me crazy. I can't watch Tiger make the putt. So I go to 7 and 9, and they too are in
so it
weather.
Must be mandated.
I don't know if it's mandated. Wilbon goes crazy about this. Crazy. He says, you can't have this.
Wouldn't happen.
What a weak sports town,
Wouldn't
Washington.
Happen in Chicago? Wouldn't
and
happen.
Then he so said, ridiculous.
He said it didn't happen in Chicago. I said, there's no tour.
What does that mean?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty, then. We are live at Chatter with Luke Russert, Tori Clark, and Michael Kornheiser. Nigel's running the board. Nigel is doing the news. We're at the corner of what? Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street's Northwest in Friendship Heights. We have a nice crowd here for breakfast. Yes. Thank you very much. We have people invading the space to see what Nigel looks like, sticking their heads through the window. Which one of them is Nigel? We said you weren't even here.
Yes, thank you for covering for me.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. By the way, we have a Caps game here tonight. I'm not selling the food. The food is really good.
Food is phenomenal.
The bar stuff's really good. I'm selling the Caps game tonight, and we have a minimum of 4 Caps games left. At worst, 4 Caps games left. At best, 6 Caps games left, because that would be sweep, 6
yes.
more. So we're open for business. Come watch the Washington Capitals here. Now, let me get to the lead story in sports. The mythology of the Houston Rockets is shattered. I mean, I'm listening, you know, all year long, Wilbon on and on and on about Daryl Morey, his Northwestern Bobo, building the Houston Rockets with one thing in mind, to beat Golden State, which is fine.
Right.
Which is fine. And you got James Harden, and if you watch the beginning of that, James Harden scored like the first 100 points, it looked like, and drew an immediate technical on Draymond Green. Draymond Green can be baited into almost anything. That game looked like, what are we doing here? What is going on here? And then by the third quarter, Golden State does what it does all the time, which is win games. This is a pretty simple thing. Houston doesn't beat Golden State in the playoffs. The last two times they played, they've gone out 4-1, 4-1. If you get the home court, and deservedly so over the course of the year, they played great. They earned home court, no question about it. Curry was hurt for 30 games. Golden State didn't really care, right? Golden State didn't really care because they know they can win. You got to win game one. If you don't win, this is like Toronto-Cleveland. And this was worse because in Toronto-Cleveland in game one, it was a close game. This is more than a 10-point game at the end. This is every panic feeling that you can have with the Houston Rockets has just bubbled up to the surface. And you had James Harden scoring 41 points. James Harden and Chris Paul, between them, got 64 points, and they didn't win. And the mathematics are very simple. Houston in Harden and Paul has 2 of the top 12 players in the league. I don't think Chris Paul's a top 8 or 10 anymore, but he's certainly top 12. The other team has 4 of the top 20. They got 2 of the top 5 and 4 of the top 20. I don't see how a healthy Golden State team loses this series. Luke?
What I found fascinating about the game last night was that there was a shootout in the beginning. The first quarter sort of was the guns at the OK Corral.
That's what Houston's got.
Right. And so you're thinking, okay, maybe Houston can do this, but can they keep this up? And I was watching, and I said, this is not necessarily the best game for them. They need to exploit their strengths in the paint. Nene was doing okay. And then you sort of get to the second quarter and then into the second half, and it starts to turn into this shootout, and the crowd is still into it, and the announcers, to their credit, are going, oh, what a shot by Houston. Houston keeping it tough, blah, blah, blah. But they were never really within more than 7 to 10 points. Yeah. And you get to the fourth quarter, and the last 3 to 4 minutes, Chris Paul and Harden adopt a bad case of John Wall disease, which is throwing up loosey-goosey shots.
Six.
Yeah, loosey, of which we have the immortal poster behind you.
Oh, right there, yeah.
News Channel 8. But it's no urgency with 3 to 4 minutes gone. And I said, you cannot beat Golden State unless you have your foot on the gas the entire game. And then if you have an opportunity to kill them, you can. But you got to exploit the paint, and they weren't able to do that. The Pelicans did that for that one game. I don't see them getting back into it.
Tori, you didn't even like the game. You just
I tried. I really
game.
Tried. For the sake of the show, I tried. So I'm watching, and then I got bored, and I got obsessed with that giant head of Harden that people were outside taking their pictures.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Humongous head.
That was creepy.
Very
creepy.
It was
kind of like a clown in it in Asbury Park. Yeah.
I thought it was very creepy. So then I went back to the game, and I thought it was boring again. Then I became obsessed with Steph Curry and how small he is. He's getting smaller. He's getting tinier and tinier.
Yep.
But maybe he'll last longer because of that. And then I took the dogs out in the ring.
So that was it, right?
That's it. I tried.
Michael, did you give it a full shot?
I'm sorry. I was all in on local weather last night.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that later, the local weather. So, I mean, Wilbon will come on the show. He'll tell us it sets up a fascinating series. But I don't know that it does. I think it sets up that Golden State's going to win the series, which I thought all along. In any case, there is a much more important story than this.
By the way, did it make you happy to see Nick Young out there?
I can't stand Nick Young, but he hit a couple of threes.
He did.
Swaggy P.
There seem to be a lot of ex-Wizards.
He's a clown.
Roaming around
these passing.
Hey, Ariza looked great. I miss that guy every day.
Yeah.
Gosh, he's good.
All right, so let us get to what I think is the most fascinating story in the world right now. On the weekend, Prince Harry is going to marry Meghan Markle, an American actress.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
An American actress.
That's right.
Suits.
And apparently her father is not going to England because of some sort of paparazzi scandal. Can you bring me up to speed on what this story is?
This makes me so happy.
Tori, you might know more
than her half-sister is taking credit or blame for encouraging her father, their father, to do some of these photos. She thought it would improve his image. So he hooks up with some photographer and goes out and has these cheesy photos of him getting fitted for a suit, reading some pictures about life in Great Britain, these kinds of things.
Why is this bad?
Because it's not proper if you're a royal or you're about to be associated with the royal family. It's completely improper.
Wait,
you don't do these
kinds of
things.
But the parents of Kate Middleton, they own a bounce
game. That's
right. Game.
Yeah, the bouncy
they
house.
Own the bouncy
supply.
Ball game for kids.
Yeah, I think they were not allowed to promote
the bouncy ball
game
what is
before
that
the wedding. Moon bounce.
Moon bounce.
Yeah,
moon bounce. The bouncy house.
So this was considered highly improper. And now he says, or they say he is saying, that he will not be there, which sets up the great drama of who will walk her down the aisle. And Nigel, are you ready?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes, well, I think I can do that.
What do we think of this?
Spectacular.
Well, the story is... Why will he not go?
The story is very, very strange on a number of levels.
Isn't he a fat guy in a t-shirt, basically?
The first thing that is said is that he had a heart attack.
That's the strangest piece of this.
Right. So then there's this medical theory, but then it goes that he was in an internet cafe, which, by the way, having traveled around the world in the last year and a half, nobody uses internet cafes anymore. It's all Wi-Fi. You can get Wi-Fi.
Except for 65-year-old
you
guys.
You can literally get Wi-Fi in the middle of the Amazonian jungle, okay? Right. You can get Wi-Fi in Rosarito, Mexico, where he lives. So they're staging these photographs.
He lives in Mexico?
Yes.
He doesn't live in the United States.
Oh, this is a weird cat. Oh, yeah. This is not some guy.
Oh, I just assumed he lived in Chicago or something like that.
No. This guy's down in Mexico. He's doing his thing. So long story short, they take photographs of him, looking at pictures of the couple getting fitted for the suit. And then it's all done at the behest of the stepsister, who's another strange person who doesn't necessarily have a relationship with Markle. But this all comes together, less than a week out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
late in the game on this.
If you're
just
late,
2 days away.
All I can think about is Queen Elizabeth, who we know enjoys a good martini,
yes,
sitting there with the corgis going,
right, the rabble.
So he's got to be taken.
Buckingham.
Do we really not think that he's going to show up?
Oh, I don't
he
think
can't
he will.
Be there.
Yeah,
because then all the focus and all the attention would be on him, and they can't. You know, all the cameras can't be on him at the wedding.
There's already.
So he's done.
That's what they say.
So is he estranged from the mother?
Yes.
Are they
yes.
not? They're not together.
No.
Correct.
No.
So he's just a free agent at this point.
Yes.
And he was looking to cash in on some level.
Maybe
what?
We could do a
That's
swap,
what
Nigel.
To
you
say
could
that
go walk her down the
in.
Aisle, and he could come here and fill in for a few days.
Well, yes, there is that possibility. In years past, if nobody was available to walk royalty down the aisle, Benny Hill always had that duty.
Yeah.
But now he has passed, so I'm not sure who has
so
that job.
So
now.
We don't know who's walking
but she
her
is
down.
She has been quoted as saying she's a daddy's girl, and he's basically taught her how to live her life. So you would presume that she wants him there. I'm focusing more on this. this heart attack, I'd like to know how this came about, if he actually has a history of stress, if this was in the books for a while, or if there's something shady happening that you have people acting to try and keep him out of Great Britain for this wedding.
So you believe, Tori, that he will not be there?
I believe that.
And Luke, you believe he will not be there?
I don't think he can. I mean, remember, this is...
Can he smuggle himself in and show up as, in a clown suit or something and take his head off?
The royal family has had issues with some of the spouses in the past. Yeah. You know, Fergie comes to mind, right?
Right, yes.
So they've really tried to downplay the tabloid nature of all of this. But remember,
Harry's in line for the throne if 400 people die.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Meghan Markle is an African-American American, right? Catholic. That's a
divorce.
Yeah. That's a big pill to swallow for a lot of the traditional Brits. Yeah. So to have
but
this
but
guy
Harry's
here.
But Harry's not in line. Yeah. Harry's not
but,
in line.
But still, it's the old guard. He's a child
sort
of the nation.
Like, this is not how it's done.
So could we get somebody that everybody likes? Could Cal Ripken walk her down the aisle?
Cal, Tom Hanks.
Well, Tony, weren't you there when she threw out the first pitch at Oriel Park at Camden Yards, the Queen?
Yes, I was
what
there.
What was that like?
By the way, the Queen, well, she... It was sideways.
Cricket.
She didn't know how to throw it, but...
If you say she threw it like a girl, I'll just smack
you. No, she just threw it sideways.
She threw it like a queen.
This is... The amazing thing to me about the Queen, and now I understand this, because now as I get older, I shrink. She's not even 5 feet tall, I don't think.
She's about 4'8".
She was really tiny with a big hat.
She's hat-aided,
and
though.
She just... Yeah, big hat, and she stood there and... They sort of introduced her to the Orioles play. It was absurd. It was absurd on every single level. She doesn't know anything about baseball.
Hi, I'm Rick Sutcliffe. Nice to meet you.
This is 20 years ago. That's 20 years ago.
Oh, it's got to be long, more than that.
You know, and then she was younger then, and now she, you know.
Now the London bookies are going crazy, appropriately, as to who will walk her down the aisle.
And who are they saying?
They were saying possibly somebody Prince from the family? William, but he's already busy as best man, so that would be a little complicated, and perhaps her mother.
That would be cool.
What about what about the kid? Blow what about the little bitty prince?
Oh.
George. What about George?
Sure,
I mean, he's
not
old enough to walk her down the aisle now.
Yeah, why not?
So this is now the focus of the wedding.
Yes.
At this point.
Which is not what
I mean,
wanted
I would focus on whether Harry was going
to
wear a Nazi armband like he did the last time.
Yeah.
Are you going to wake up for it? It's around
I'm
your
up.
Time. Yeah, but
I'm
it's
7
a.m.
Yeah,
you'll be
so
no, I'm up.
So Saturday, there's no sleep in Saturday, right?
No, when is the wedding?
I
is
think
this 7 Saturday?
7 a.m., yeah.
Are you going to wear your wedding suit?
No, I could wear the jacket. I don't think I'd wear the whole suit.
How about
suit.
Breakfast
show
to chatter with a little champagne?
Yeah.
I'm sure, well, we're not open at that hour on Saturday.
Well, you could make some money.
Special royalty opening, maybe.
You'll forgive me. I think this is an overreaction against this guy.
You clearly do not spend much time in the royal.
I don't.
I think this is probably his first experience of being in the pickle barrel when everybody is taking a swing at him. And he's like, if this is what it's all about, I just assume stay here in Mexico.
Bailing. You think he's
bailing. I think he will.
All righty. Okay.
He should have stayed in Rosarito and hung out with his people.
Yeah. I have heard that Mueller is going to extend his investigation and find exactly what's going on with this.
It just doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
It doesn't.
And it seems to be on the Today Show every single moment.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll be out. We'll be out. We are leaving this part of the show and coming back with Michael Wilbon in the next part of the show. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there's a better way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out with friends, or need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like being there in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Do you think SeatGeek has tickets to the royal wedding? I doubt that.
I know a guy, though.
Do you think that you could get a ticket to the royal wedding? If you could get a SeatGeek ticket
that would be fantastic.
To the royal wedding. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you identify immediately the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Let's just say they could drop one to the royal wedding for £2,000 or something like that. You get 20 off.
50 quid.
Download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek, app and enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. This is not, though, this is the big wedding. It's like Prince Charles was the big wedding.
That was the big one.
Prince Williams was the big wedding. This is not.
Like, yeah, but he's the best-looking one. He's the sort of sex symbol of the royal family. He was in the military in Afghanistan. He's the certified badass. They like Harry.
Yeah, and I also think he's the last one for a while, yeah. Right? The last royal for a while.
Let's be honest. You people are fascinated with the royal family. Despite having overthrown the monarchy years ago, you love it.
I love Kate Middleton. She's the best.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are the Coles of Denton, Montana. Dear Dr. Tony, big fans of your show, would be honored if you played this song we wrote. It's called Long Gone. On any other year, we would say it was about the Caps and their short playoff runs, but not this year, eh? The cheesery to you and the rest of the crew. Long Gone by the Coles. We don't get much traction from Montana, so that makes me happy.
Yeah.
It's nice to know that people... Actually, Maury Povich's guy who owns the restaurant, his name is Blue... He listens to us in Montana.
Really?
He's listening now. Michael Wilbon joins us now. He is in Houston. And I don't want to say I believe I had that. But yesterday on the air, I said to you, I thought Golden State would win. And I thought it would be by a big number. And you said, no, 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 this is going to be a really close game. You didn't pick one team over the other, but I thought you were leaning towards Houston.
No, no, no. I picked Boston and Golden State to win. And... I just said I thought it'd be a closer game. And
you went against your boy Daryl Morey? You went against him?
I don't think the Houston can beat Golden State. I've been saying at the beginning of the playoffs, I wanted to see what they looked like with Steph Curry.
Right.
What they looked like with Steph Curry, champions. And I love Daryl Morey, but they can't beat Golden State, particularly not the way they play, Tony. The way Houston plays, which is basically ISO basketball. They diversified, and Chris Paul makes them a lot better than they have been the last couple of years. And Chris Paul last night had 23-11.
Yeah.
But they got two guys, and Capella's coming. He's coming along. But they got two guys, and the Warriors have four, and they have four, and they're just a better team. What they do, the way they play, is just not going to let Houston beat them. And the Warriors, look, Houston spent a year, and here's where I love Daryl Morey for this. Everybody else at the end of last year just said, we can't beat them. We got to take years. We got to draft this person. We're going to bring this person along. Here's what we're going to do ultimately. And we're going to rebuild while Houston's good because we can't beat them. And Daryl Morey said, no, let's beat them. Let's go after them. Let's compete in this league. I got one star. I'm gonna get another one, and we got a good coach offensively.
Yeah.
Great coach offensively. Let's go after them now. And he did. And everything they've done is to try to put together a team to beat the Warriors now. And it's Tony, it's not gonna happen. But I admire Houston for that effort, not rolling over in the same conference. Golden State, but look, on a night where
Oklahoma City did that same thing, Mike. Oklahoma City said, "Let's go after it now."
Well, no, Oklahoma City did it over a period of years. Oklahoma City was.
No, they added two guys. Yet they added two guys this year. They added Carmelo Anthony and Paul George.
No, they weren't beating Golden State. They tried to continue to win. That wasn't putting together a team to beat Golden State. That was trying to win. That was go out
three Hall of Famers.
Tony, I don't care if they're Hall of Famers or not. Oklahoma City, as evidenced by the very first round, wasn't going to beat Golden State with those guys. I told you that earlier. You liked them, not even though you didn't necessarily like the individual players anymore. You liked the star power. The Oklahoma City had no chance. It can't be Utah. Houston, at least, you looked at them and you looked at the way they played in the regular season.
Right.
Oklahoma City was perhaps the most disappointing team in the regular season in the league, other than the Wizards. And they were not built to beat Golden State.
No, I give you that. So are you calling this series over right now?
It's a one game series, just like Toronto was. Tony, Toronto had to win game one.
Didn't.
We said this yesterday. We both thought that Houston had to win at home last night.
Yes.
Now you're asking. Charles and I were together until a few hours ago, And Charles said, at the end of that, he said that, he said, I'm disappointed. He said, the thing is, you're now saying that a team that you didn't even think could beat them 4 out of 7, you're going to ask them to beat them 4 out of 6. And it's a one-game series. Houston is now facing, as several other teams have in these playoffs, very early on, a must-win game 2. Must. Just to prolong the series, to avoid not getting swept. So I'm not saying it's over yet, but it's really dependent. And now you got a loosey-goosey Golden State team and a very, pressured team of Rockets who don't do well necessarily anyway under that kind of pressure. They got to win at home in game 2.
So if you're Golden State, you just wanted to get to 1-1 however you did it.
Yes, exactly.
And they just did it early on. I mean,
Tony, on a night where Harden goes 41.
Yeah.
And Chris Paul goes 23.
64 and 11, points between your two best players, and you can't win, you can't get close.
You can't get, you lose by 13 at home. So, and Steph Curry didn't have a game. Now, he did some important stuff. Steph Curry did. He broke defense down. They wouldn't let him get the 3 off, and he didn't get. I don't know what he hit, 1-3. But Steph Curry, you know, Draymond Green, who had 5 points, controlled the game. He controlled it.
I thought he was going to get thrown out.
9 rebounds and 9 assists.
I swear to you, Mike, I thought in the second minute of play,
he might get tossed.
I thought he was going to get tossed because he deliberately went after Harden. For absolutely no reason, and was shoving him in the neck.
The reason? You know what the reason is? You know what the reason is? What do you think of Harden? What have you thought of Harden in playoff player?
He's a dog.
Okay. Let me ask you something.
But I thought he'd be thrown out.
He could. He didn't swing. He did extend a forearm and push him. And
no, I understand that, but he has, you know, he has priors. I mean, he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
But here's what he did. He took temperature to the room and said, this guy, it was an old playoff move, man.
I understand.
That was Oakley, Barkley, Maurice Lucas, Jerry Lucas. That move goes back 60 years to the NBA.
And the guy still got 41. He did, and he shot well. But he played well.
You know what, Tony? When you got the ball and you're shooting it with 3 and 4 seconds left on the shot clock, You're not doing any favors for like PJ Tucker, for Trevor Ariza. Those guys can't be given the ball with 2 and 3 seconds left after ISO plays and expected to hit shots. They're not Curry and they're not Klay Thompson. So that doesn't work. James Harden is basically, they said last night, here's what's going to happen with ISO basketball. We're going to drum you. And they did. And so now, I mean, the Rockets have to make massive adjustments, and Mike D'Antoni, bless him, he's never been an adjustment guy. We know that going back to Phoenix, when they had truly great teams, and he would have 4 great players on the floor with Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire and those guys. They can't. Tony, they got to make huge. I'm not saying they can't win game 2. I'm just saying they got to have like 2 more guys join the party and have.
They don't have it. They don't have 2 more guys. They really don't. All right, so are you calling?
PJ Tucker and Trevor Ariza got in foul trouble. Ariza had what? A bucket? Maybe?
They did nothing. They gave him nothing. They gave them nothing the whole game.
No.
Are you calling Boston Cleveland over also?
No, because Cleveland can win tonight. They're going to talk about adjustments. I mean, the biggest adjustments in the playoffs are made after you get drummed in game 1. And Cleveland was drummed in a worse way, obviously, than Houston. But Cleveland, of course, has LeBron James. So, but Tony, I'm going to tell you this right now. First of all, Boston, Houston, you've been on Cleveland, and you're right in that second Toronto series.
Yes.
But as I told you, the reason I stuck with Boston in that pick is because Toronto was afraid of LeBron James.
That's right.
The Boston Celtics are not afraid of anyone. They know how to guard you. And then I said, LeBron may have 35 tonight, Tony. But I'm going to tell you something. If LeBron only goes for 35 and 6 or 7, they're not going to win tonight either. Boston's too good for them. They got 5 guys who can wear LeBron out. They can't stop him, but they can wear him down. And their players, those 5 guys I'm talking about, don't even include Terry Rozier, for God's sake. Don't even include Al Horford. Those guys are better than Cleveland. Better.
I have no argument with that. I don't think you're wrong. I think that Brad Stevens is very likely to say, let LeBron get what he wants and let's stop everybody else, and they can do that.
Say that cause I don't think he's going to say that. That's not what they do. They guard him. They guard him. They don't have a guy to guard him as well as Jimmy Butler. But, Marcus Morris, I mean, this guy is taking this
seriously. He's the good twin.
He's the guy who's improved his
career.
We
have the bad twin. We have the Mark Keefe is the bad twin. Marcus is the good twin.
He did some good work. And again, but I expect Cleveland to make the adjustments to rebound. And
you expect them to win?
Me to say right now, who's going to win?
You expect Cleveland?
I kind of think Cleveland's going to win game two, but I think Boston's going to win the series.
All right. Your thoughts on the Caps? We haven't had this opportunity on the podcast. Your thoughts on the Caps?
They've had a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous first 2.5 rounds of the playoffs now.
Right.
First 2.5. But, home ice means less than home field in the NFL.
Very little it means.
Home court.
Yes.
And so, I'm not going to pronounce it over. Good for the Cavs. It's great. It's great. And their spirit, they seem to be over it in a way that the Cubs got over it 2 years ago. I'm hoping that they finish this off. The thing is, Tony, two things change playoff hockey unlike any other sport.
A goalie does.
Obviously, goaltender, who can not only you can start the playoffs and stay hot for four rounds, people can get hot after having tough games.
Can.
And, and penalties. And, you take a stupid penalty the wrong time, it can be 2-1 very quickly.
That's right. That's right. So, no, you're right about that.
The Cavs did that in the Columbus series, and they stopped. And their power play has been the best power play in the playoffs of any team. I don't know if statistically it's been that, but it just seems to demoralize other teams, and it's been more timely.
Let me get to the important question, though. The important question is, you and I are both watching NBC. We're watching as Tiger is lining up what we think might, if he birdies, gets him to minus 12 on 18. Tell the people what happened.
No, if he birdies there, he gets to minus 15.
No, minus 12 on 18. 14. On 18, the last part.
Oh, on 18. Oh.
What happened?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. WRC goes to a tornado warning.
Right.
And the only reason that I didn't throw a brick to the television is in my house, there are plenty of people who know Anthony Kornheiser. And literally multiple people say, oh, my God, Tony is going to kill someone.
Yes. That's just terrible.
That's a first for me in a lot of years. The person is like, if I was czar of everything in my existence, I would have driven over to Nebraska Avenue. 4001, is it?
Yes, sir. Yes. Northwest.
Yes.
I would have driven over to Nebraska Avenue and I would have said, it's Mother's Day. But whoever you are who made this decision, pack up your belongings.
Right.
Well, they love to do that.
You're done.
This is weak. You said it was proof that Washington was a weak sports town.
It's so weak. It's so weak. I mean, if that happens, probably somebody loses their job in certain sports cities.
Until the tornado
probably smaller.
Comes through your front.
I can't believe they would do that in Detroit or Minnesota, where there is weather, by the way. A lot more severe weather than Washington, D.C. You can't have that. You can put a crawl on. You can't bring on Storm Team 4.
Not when Tiger's putting. It's a big tournament. It's the players.
It's a big tournament. It's not the Honda.
Yeah, that's right.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
self-indulgent garbage.
It was like, and not
it's
only
self-indulgent.
That.
Let's show off. It's just somebody with no sense of what is important.
It's in Culpeper.
This is important to one community of. How big is Culpeper?
It's not that big.
1,000 people.
Look, I want everybody to live and have a good time, but they canceled the tornado warning while she was talking, and we didn't get back to Tiger.
You can put a box on the screen.
Yeah.
It was showing off.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'll get some letter from a station I used to work for. I loved it. We loved our time with George Michael.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. George would have expired if he was still living.
Yes. All right.
He would just put his hand over his heart and said, "Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you," in Fred Sanford style. That was just self-indulgent stupidity.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Can we ask him what he was doing with Charles Barkley till 3 in the morning on
Monday?
They were
hanging out. Drinking.
They were hanging out.
How was it?
Charles, at two, come on, what do you think? What's your conclusion after a big game when there's that wasn't the only one? There's, you know, 200 people hanging out at the park. When Charles and Shaq say, you got to show up and meet me,
It's very simple.
You got to show up.
Talk to you later. Goodbye. All Michael right. Wilbon, boys and girls. We'll take a break. We'll come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a ZipRecruiter ad. Are you hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. Posting your job to job sites and waiting and waiting. Stop. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there, and ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, listeners to this high-quality podcast can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Let me spell it for you. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. I'm not hiring anybody. But I guess people who listen have businesses and they want to hire people.
Yeah.
I've never really... hires I make don't usually work out. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us from Danny in Madrid. Says, I'm writing to submit a song on behalf of my brother CJ, my close friend and rising artist in the Madrid hip-hop and R&B scene. Madrid, Spain.
That's right.
CJ and I met during our freshman year at Syracuse University. Go Orange, eat at Saliza, where we both majored in broadcast journalism. Back then, he was CJ. After graduation, we were so enamored of our career options as American journalism majors, we moved around to Spain to find work as part-time English teachers. He continued pursuing his music on the side, gradually gaining a following. His most recent single submitted here is called Everybody Eats. He's a Philadelphia sports fan, but that's okay. That's okay. If people like CJ or Danny on behalf of CJ want to submit original music, Michael, like the Culls from Montana, how do they do that?
Send your music into the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com, and we forgive you for being a Philly sports fan.
Yeah, it's really
I like
okay.
this.
Yeah, it's pleasant. I
believe he just had a concert.
In Madrid?
In Madrid. I think it was either yesterday or the day before, so best of luck, brother CJ.
Good job.
Yeah, okay. What do we got?
Mr. Tony, it appears as if you are going to be able to bet on sports legally anywhere in the United States now. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday, I believe it was, 6-3 decision?
7-2.
7-2.
Was 7-2?
Ban gambling as a federal ban was unconstitutional. It's supposed to be left up to the states to decide what they can do individually. Now, the NFL has jumped right on this and said they've issued a statement. And basically what they want to do is they want to work with Congress now to get a framework designed so that they can sort of help control the gambling.
We have stopped the sort of religious morality reason for banning gambling in America. And you know, we go to the practical reason of raising tax money. And states will be able to do this. Not all states will do it. They won't. So not all states have lotteries. So not all states are going to permit this gambling, but many states will.
New Jersey, right, will be the forefront of this?
Jersey already passed the legislation.
New Jersey's right. Here's what this is about with the leagues. The leagues want gambling. They say they don't want gambling because they're afraid of fixing. That's the position they take. They want gambling because gambling is a way to get them a lot of money if... And this is the important if. They want a federal guideline because they believe they will have more success on a federal level with getting a piece of the gambling. Who's going to get rich here? States are going to get rich here because of the tax cut they're going to take.
Right.
Providers are going to get rich here, like casinos or betting shops, because of the cut they're going to take. But if I ran the state gambling in New Jersey, I might say to Roger Goodell, well, I'm not cutting you in for anything.
Sure.
I don't have to. I don't have to do that. Adam Silver wants to be cut in for something because of the integrity factor. We're keeping the game free from the tawdry elements of this, but I don't know that you have to do that. I think the people that win here are people that own sports teams, people that own sports leagues, people that own ESPN. But I don't, you know, I don't know. Like when Mark Cuban says it doubles the value of every team, he says that because he's an owner and he wants to double the value. I don't know that that's true. Right. Your thoughts on this, Tori?
I'm surprised.
You think it's not a great idea.
I think it's not a great idea because I think already gambling works, right? Whatever you think about the morality of it, and I don't. But anybody who wants to place a bet on anything can do it and can do it very, very easily.
But the government doesn't get a piece of it.
The government doesn't get a piece of it. But when's the last time the federal government got involved in something and made it better? That's been a long time, right? And I know there are some who say, oh, well, we need federal rulings because it'd be very, very hard for these entities to work state by state, different rules and regulations with different states. Too bad, right?
Well,
right,
there are different rules now from state to state on a variety of things.
I did check in with one of my in-house consultants who seems to do a fair amount of betting.
Yeah.
And I said, how is this going to change your life? And he texted back
this
morning.
Ovi the dog.
He texted back and said, bye-bye, bookie.
Well, unless you're comfortable. See, bookies will extend you a line of credit.
Right.
And the most important, what we're going for here is in-game betting off your phone. That's the most important thing. This benefits football and baseball far more than basketball and hockey because those sports are too fast. They're just too fast. Yeah. Luke, I know you have thoughts on this.
It was a momentous day in America. I would think it's a great day in America. I think in terms of the changes that are coming, this is the Citizens United of the sports world in the sense that it's going to open up a flood of money into sports and make a lot of people rich. Also, so many things have to change now. All these media entities now have to get really smart on gambling. There's going to be an ESPN gambling section, the Washington Post gambling section.
There's going to be an ESPN daily show, I guarantee you, on gambling.
And Brett Musburger,
he's the smartest guy in America.
Brett Musburger did this 2 years ago. He saw it coming. A few things. The NFL has been so hypocritical for so long, saying that they are opposed to gambling. They were in partnerships with those one-day payout fantasy football
sites.
Yeah,
but every league has been opposed.
And on top of that, no one in their right mind is watching a Week 14 Cleveland Browns LA Chargers game with no playoff implications unless they have some money on it. So this will help them out immensely.
Football stands to gain the most because of the 30 seconds between plays.
Quick thing with my expertise on Congress, I don't see Congress being able to pass a set of uniform guidelines. It's going to stay with the states, but I'm interested to see if the leagues flex muscle and they penalize states that do not give them a cut. Now, I don't know how that... Well, let's say you're South Carolina or you're a place...
Well, you don't even have a team.
But you hosted the training camp of the Knicks they did at one point. I'm just remembering this because there was a standoff over the Confederate flag and the Knicks pulled out of there over that reason. Or the NBA wanted to pull the All-Star game out of Charlotte for...
Which they did.
The bathroom law. They did. What if the NBA goes, hey, you know, you haven't cut us in on our gambling rights. No All-Star game for you or no training camps in your place. Maybe it doesn't amount to much.
I mean, I think they're going to work out a deal, but I don't think that the leagues are in the position of power that they think they're in. Michael, your thoughts on gambling?
I'm fine with this. I'm actually looking forward to the first momentous game that appears to be impacted by gambling because I just want to see how they have to respond.
Conspiracy theories.
And I'm also looking forward to just – so this Bootsy is a young boy. I imagine that – that baseball game, it's a late summer afternoon getaway game, and it's just filled with kids and degenerate gamblers betting on every single pitch and kids getting in on the fun.
I think you'll be able to bet on at bats. I don't know about pitch for pitch.
Will you have a book at Chatter?
I'd love to.
That'd be great.
I mean, I just think that this is I think that there's a lot of money to be made here. A lot of money. One of the things that I wondered about was this is going to make it even harder. The amount of betting, legalized betting on college sports is going to make it even harder to deny those athletes money.
Yeah, some form of the profits.
I don't get how this is going to be so much more money being bet because there's already so much money being betted. And people already bet on the most ridiculous things,
but
right?
I think
there's a lot of people who are reluctant to bet because it's not legal.
I
think the legality will be a big deal.
I think if you grab 500 people off the street
you think
before
they bet?
This ruling and said legal, not legal, they would have assumed it was legal because so many people we know bet on everything under the sun.
I mean, I just think it's a great way to raise money for states, you know, tax money.
Fix the roads, maybe.
Can I have a question about betting. Those of you familiar with Talbert's over on River Road?
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's right. Which is a great
place. Used to, by the way, have a great Hall of Shame fake ID wall. And
I don't think that's up now.
We tried to get a colleague of ours, St. Albans class of 2004's ID up there just for we asked. We said, hey, we're not trying to buy any alcohol, but can we put his fake ID up there? And the owner freaked out. It's like, I'm calling the police. You're in possession of a fake ID. I had to run out of there.
They have the TV screens up there on which they are. It's video horse racing. So it's not real horse racing. It's video games. Right? And people sit there at the little tables with all these complicated pieces of paper.
Is that Keno?
And they bet. I don't know what it is, but it's very confusing.
It's off-track betting.
Yeah.
I think.
But they're not betting. No, they're not betting on real horses. They're betting on video game horses.
Then they're insane people.
Yes.
I mean, if they're video game horses.
Now, in light of this new development, would you like to revisit the opportunity to own a highlight team, as we've talked about in the past?
Oh,
no.
Nice.
I think degenerates will bet on anything.
Of course
I think that the major sports.
They'll bet on traffic lights.
Yeah, the major sports are the big winner in this. What else do we have to do? By the way, can I say something else that it's very disturbing to me?
Yes, of course.
As long as we're doing geographical spots on River Road.
Right.
This is close to River Road, what I'm going to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Johnson's Flowers on Van Ness. Johnson's Flowers, where I went for close to 40 years now and bought tomato plants and pepper plants and petunias, and everybody went there. Everybody. It's closed.
It's closed?
What happened, Luke?
This was, for a large segment of the population of Ward 3, just devastating. I mean, devastating. The building of which Johnson occupies is owned by the American University. And if you listen to Johnson's, they say that, A, you raise the rents to a level that was not practical, that would not make them profitable. They've been in business for 84 years.
Yeah, I mean, everybody goes there.
If you listen to AU, they go, well, we have a hospital there. We have other tenants in the building. The fact that you had all these trucks coming in through Johnson's, we tried to make it work, but they weren't really willing to pay the premium they needed to pay for all the space they were using. All that being said, your options now for Flowers in the D.C. Northwest area are Safeway.
Not going to Safeway.
When the Greek church, the Greek Orthodox St. Sophia's, has a great flower sale going on right
now.
You've got to go
up to Burdett Road to the American Plant
Center. To be fair, Johnson's is the most overpriced flower shop imaginable. And it has two spots. The inside is a florist, which nobody ever uses except for high school prom season. And the outside shop is the one that you're talking about.
Geraniums.
But the majority of their stock is fertilizer, mulch, seed, dirt. These are things that you
These
can now get
things.
At the local Ace Hardware stores, which there's actually been a rise in those to protect some of the smaller neighborhoods outside of Ward 3. And you can drive 15 to 20 minutes to these amazing garden centers at Home Depot and Lowe's.
I'm not doing that.
It's not as convenient for you, but they clearly did not set themselves up to adapt with the changing times.
They have Johnson's Bucks so that when you buy things in April, in July,
they're no
when
good
your
now.
All the flowers
going
are
to
dead.
Hell, you can get free stuff because you spent money early. I'm very upset. What else do you have,
Mr. Tony? D'Angelo Hall of the Redskins said over the weekend, "I'm not playing." He's talking about options he might have going in the front office or working with other organizations.
Not having
the media.
Any front office
he says,
options.
"I'm not playing." That's for damn sure. Now, yesterday, he walked that back a little bit and said, well, I'm about 95% sure that I'm done playing football, but I want to do it the right way. I want to give the Washington Redskins organization the respect they deserve and obviously do it with them when the time was right. So he hasn't officially ruled out.
Did you see how many years he'd played with the Redskins? I was stunned by this.
Yeah, it was, what, like 10?
It was 9 years here.
Yeah.
9 years. So I'll tell you a D'Angelo Hall story. D'Angelo Hall is not a shrinking violet. D'Angelo Hall was
all I think of when I hear his name.
D'Angelo Hall was playing for the Atlanta Falcons when Michael Vick was playing for the Atlanta Falcons. And in the year that Michael Vick got busted for the dog fighting and was sent away, D'Angelo Hall was talking to a group of people, including me, and said, "All right, he's gone. More time for me."
Boy. Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
So.
Yeah.
Isn't he testing the waters? That's what I assumed when I heard this and I read this. He's testing the waters both ways.
Yeah.
Does somebody in the media want him? Okay, he's available.
The Redskins have said that, well, apparently in this report, they said the Redskins are alleged to have a front office position open for him if he would like to do it. Mm-hmm. He says, too, that he really wants to get that gold jacket. I had a vision of a gold jacket, but
He's not getting the gold jacket.
So that's kind of out of the question
He's
now.
He's not going to the Hall
but
of Fame.
But who's to say I can't get there some other way? That's kind of my focus.
He
I still want
to buy a ticket to the Hall of Fame. Could He's not do that. Getting in the Hall of Fame.
D'Angelo Hall's crowning achievement, in my opinion.
In
2005, he was endorsed by Reebok and in a national TV game wore Nike shoes and was promptly dumped by Reebok on Monday saying, well, D'Angelo, we pay you. You can't wear Nike if you're sponsored by Reebok.
What else you got?
Mr. Tony, we will take you to Florida. I know it's only Tuesday, but this is an important story for you. To Hudson, Florida. Brandon Donald McRae, age 47. We don't know what sort of day he was having last Tuesday.
A bad day.
Well, it became a bad day when he had several guests over at his house and he was looking for some socks. This is how most incidents begin throughout the world. Couldn't find his socks, so he immediately began to accuse the people in his house of stealing his socks.
I often do that when guests come over.
Right, where are my socks? You stole my
bloody socks, didn't you?
They raised their hands and said, listen, Brandon, I don't know where your socks are, but I don't have them. He refused to believe them.
And what did he do?
He left the house. And then he returned with a ninja sword. And then he attacked the two women. He sliced a woman's leg and then swung at the man's throat, attempting to kill or seriously injure him. Then they said the man's hands and arms were injured in the ensuing altercation. Nobody was killed.
What was he under the influence of something in particular, did they later find?
I think he was just high on life.
Okay. Florida man.
Yes, Florida man. He was not naked, was not drunk, but he is in jail with $150,000 bond.
Good. He'll never make
bond. Was there a ninja sword store down the street? Where did he get the ninja sword?
No, I think most men over the ages of 40 have ninja swords in Florida.
So one other thing, we talked about this last week, that Wayne Rooney, the soccer player, would somehow get here. And now this is being held up and held up and held up for reasons that I not only don't understand, but I don't care about. But in the Post today, here is a quote. This is actually in the front sports section, the front page of the sports section, if you get the actual physical paper. It's in the third paragraph. Quote, feeling good to wrap up this week or next week, one person said. What does that mean, one person said?
Well, that's the source.
That could be anybody. That could be a cop on the street. That could be the person who walks your dog. Feeling good to wrap up this week or early next, one person said, quote, getting close.
Wait, not someone connected to the team?
On the online version, it says one source said. So they made some sort of correction.
Because you can't have one person said.
Yeah. Timmy from down the block.
You can't have some random person. You have to have a source. Yes. You at least, even if it's your cleaner, you have to say it's a source.
Yes. It's connecting back to the sides, I think, from the previous paragraph.
But we don't use the word one person.
Do you know what he's reported to get?
It's really weird.
When he does eventually sign?
Hair.
He'd love the hair, but $5 million a year.
He'll pack the place.
Exactly.
He's worth more than that.
He totally is.
He will pack it. All right, let's get out of here. We will have Old Guy Radio when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Bruce Springsteen, this Old Guy Radio for the day. This is The Rising. Is there a particular reason we're doing this? It's about Nils, isn't it?
Yes, on this...
Friend of the show, Nils Lofgren.
Big friend of the show, and also the author of...
Bullets Fever
and the Jun Ri theme.
Yes.
Nobody Bothers Me, as we found out the other day. But on this date in 1984, Nils Lofgren officially joined the E Street Band.
This is, The Rising is Bruce Springsteen's interpretation and reaction to 9/11. And it is great. The entire album is great. I don't know. Should I talk about Springsteen now?
Sure.
I went to see the Bruce Springsteen Broadway show on Friday night. I had not talked about this prior to going because you don't want to jinx these things. Have you seen it?
I have not, but my friend Susan, who you know, has seen it and was just in love.
I'm scheduled to go later in the year. I'm beyond thrilled.
Okay. So I went, and it is not, much to the surprise of many people when you tell them you went, it is not a concert. I mean, I had questions that sort of start out like this. Boy, he usually plays three and a half hours. You go to sleep early. What time did he stop? And I go, it's a Broadway show. What don't you get about this? Yeah. Bruce Springsteen can play to 100,000 100,000 people if he chooses to. This is a scripted show that he wrote based on his autobiography. And I don't even know the name of the autobiography.
Born to Run.
Is it Born to Run? Okay. So he stands up there, and there are songs, but they are songs that grow appropriately out of what he's talking about. Maybe 10 or 12 songs in 2.5 hours, maybe. There are parts of the show that I could have done without, me personally. He does a couple of songs with his wife, Patti Scalfa. Okay. It doesn't mean a whole lot to me. There is one. They do the song Brilliant Disguise, which always occurred to me was a song about infidelity. And they do it together, and it's pretty moving. You probably have to assume some history in the family, and you have to read tabloids to figure it out. But it's really pretty moving. And at the end of the show, he sings 2 or 3 songs in a row, and then he's done. Okay, and then he's done, and that has a sort of a concert feel. But there's a bunch of things that occurred to me. First of all, I had a great seat. I have to say. Now, all the seats in this theater, it is the Walter Kerr Theater, I doubt there are 1,000 seats in it. So if you are in the last row, which is probably 25 to 30 rows back.
It's still pretty good. It's
you're great 60 seat. Feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, right. You know, he's right there. You don't need to see him on a screen. You can see him from the back row. You can do all that. Were you ever, I'll go around the room on this. Were you ever involved in maybe a movie or a show or a lecture or something, and you were there and you said with the other side of your head while this was going on, my God, this is great. I'm so happy I'm here. Did you ever have that happen, Tori?
I had that at Hamilton.
You felt, this is so great.
I knew a lot about it. I had read a lot about it. I'd heard a lot about it before I went, so I had very high expectations, which means...
And they were met.
And I sat there and just, turned to my
husband. And so you start to smile.
Yeah.
You're very happy. Yeah, you're seeing something. Did you ever...
I mean, as you know, I'm a Bruce fanatic. I inherited that love from my father. I'm north of 60 shows now. And I actually really like the stripped-down Bruce. There's a lot of people that only like E Street Band Bruce.
But no band.
I'm fortunate enough to have seen Bruce on the Devils and Dust tour, where he played very small halls. The Seeger Sessions tour, where he's played small halls, where he asks for silence. And it's this really deep spiritual experience. And I'm just so envious. I can't wait to do it. And I think it shows the soul of the songwriter. And I really appreciate that with anybody. But with Bruce, it's just incredible.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Did he talk religion? When Susan went to see it, she said that she was surprised as he was explaining some of the things in his life and the interpretation of some of the songs. You might think it's about A, but he goes, no, it's really about B. And she said religion came up.
Religion does come up. I mean, he talks about Catholicism and how he grew up right next door to a church that everybody in the town of Freehold went to. And he, towards the end, he says, you know, they get you for life.
Yeah.
It's who I am. But there was a lot of that. But in the first 15 or 20 minutes, he is talking about... Now, I have to... maybe I feel something very special towards this, because I think I'm a little bit less than a year older than he is. We are approximately the same age. We don't have anything else in common except what I'm going to tell you now. He talked about being 5 or 6 or 7 years old and looking at music on television on the Ed Sullivan Show, which is Elvis Presley. It is the first time that Elvis Presley comes on television. And he says, I watched this, and I'm talking as him now, I knew that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a rock and roll star. I had to have that guitar. I didn't even have to play it. I just had to have it. Had to have the guitar. And by the way, and I'll trust that Luke will agree with me on this, if you look at every single song he's ever done, the collective body of Bruce Springsteen's work, and you were asked to pick out one lyric that was most meaningful, it would be, I got this guitar and I learned how to make it talk. Everybody would come up with that. And he talks about being so directed in his life to being a rock and roll star, having his mother buy him a guitar, standing out in the backyard of his house with the guitar that he doesn't know how to play, and just singing and hoping that someone would like him. And in my own life, I knew at a very, very young age, 8 or 9 years old, I wanted to be a sports writer. It is not as lofty as being, you know, as being a rock and roll star, but that's what I wanted to be. I wanted a sports column in a newspaper. I knew that very, very young. And everything I did in junior high and high school and college was directed very specifically towards that. I practiced it. I did exercises, word exercises. I pretty much, you know, memorized the dictionary. I wanted to know the right words were important. When I wrote out loud. When I was done, I said it out loud so it sounded like my voice. And Bruce Springsteen is talking about, this is how I sang, and this is why I sang, and this is what I wanted to do. So that was very, very relatable to me. And he talked about, ultimately, and in fact, the first song, I pretty much think that the first song of his group of songs is Growing Up, which is before Born to Run. Born to Run is when he hit, and hit huge, of course. And he... The songs are important in the discourse of his life, but he goes through his life and he said, he talks about the Jersey Shore and the romance of the Jersey Shore, and he looks at the audience. And then there's two, he's very funny. And he, even though it's scripted, he knows how to deliver the line. He's a great entertainer. He gets to the line, he maxes out on the line, he gets the laugh he's supposed to get. You know, you look at it and you go, oh, he's good. Of course he's good. He's not just...
He's done it a few times.
Yeah, he's not just writing songs and singing songs, okay? He's telling you about his life. Early on in the show, he says, you know, I write about factory workers and I write about hot rods. And he said, I've never been in a factory in my life. So I couldn't drive a car till I was 21 years old. He said, I'm a complete fraud. Well, he's got you when he says I'm a complete fraud. When he's self-deprecating, of course he has you. He has that great gift that John Oliver has. He knows how to curse out loud. He knows the right time to curse. And it's very, very, very disarming. And he goes through his life. And so I'm completely in love with it. I mean, I'm sitting there. It's like when I see Michael Clayton and I go, I love this movie. I'm not moving. I'm watching the whole movie. I'm watching Mike. So I felt all of those things. The oddest thing for me was that he does interpretations, particularly of Born in the USA.
Yeah.
Because that is his Vietnam era stuff. And he talks about that. And he talks about his friends who went and never came back. And there was, for anybody old enough to remember this, so that excludes Luke and that excludes Michael. But there was, when Ronald Reagan ran for president, Ronald Reagan attached himself to Born in the USA. And Bruce Springsteen makes it very clear, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
No, this is a protest song. This is not about what's great. This is about what we did wrong. And he does that. He gets to the rising. He goes through the stages of his life in I think, a very winning way. The oddest thing for me, at the end of the show, I mean, you know, you get up.
Sure.
I'm close to the stage. And you get up. The guy next to me? He's been there six times.
I've heard that, yeah.
Six times. This is not a cheap ticket. Six times. A woman in front of me and two down. This was her fifth time at this show. The guy next to me says, well, where do you see this part? Because it's the same. Of course it's the same every night. And it's, you know, I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But at the end of the show, I'm standing up. And everybody's standing up. And I'm clapping. I don't... hoot. I don't do anything like that because, as Jay Billis would say about real recognizes real, old recognizes old. He's not a kid. You know, you see it in the lines on his face. He's very strong and he works out 3 or 4 hours a day, but you can see the sag in his body. I mean, it's, well, come on, you can't stop.
Father Time.
Father Time is undefeated. And so I'm totally relating to all of these things. And I'm clapping. And I'm really thrilled that I was there. And I stayed up. I mean, I didn't...
I was going to say, at the end.
It's 10:30.
You hear Tony Kornheiser say, at the end of a show.
It's 10:30, and I'm standing up. And I don't hear a lot of applause. And I think, what do you mean? I mean, I'm doing this, but I don't hear the deafening applause that I expect to hear. And this is disturbing to me. And I look around to my left and to my right. And that's because every dope in the audience is taking video on a cell phone.
Yeah, that's
They're taking video on a cell phone.
Yeah.
And Bruce Springsteen is bowing and gesturing as if because he's getting a standing ovation, but it's a standing
ovation.
Wow. Yeah. It's a standing
video. I'm shocked
video.
They let them do it.
Yeah.
At the end,
what's the demographics of the crowd?
Not as old as you might think. Old, mature, but not, you know, not ancient.
Not Ingleside.
Bruce is a religion, and it's so fascinating.
People in their 20s and 30s.
You talk about the diehard fan, the guy who went 6 times. In all my travels, one of the things that I was so happy to do is I got to see Bruce in Australia. And seeing Bruce in a different country, you really appreciate it.
The woman in front of me actually said to me, "You've got to see him in Europe."
Yeah.
I go, I don't think that's going to happen.
He plays more energetic.
Some shows in Ireland.
You've got to see him in Europe.
Legendary.
Norway. The best.
But you see these people that go to all these shows, and I'll never forget, I'm on the Bruce bus. I took a bus from Sydney to this vineyard where he was playing, and this guy gets on the bus. And he's got these armbands that literally go from his elbow to his wrist.
One for each.
And I go, "What are those?" He goes, "Oh, I've been doing the whole tour." I go, "You've been doing the entire Australian, New Zealand tour?" I said, "Where are you from?" He goes, "I'm from Long Island."
"Yeah.
So what do you do?" He goes,
"Mine."
He goes, "I'm a lawyer." I said, "What?" He goes, I have a deal with my law firm that I will work insane amount of hours, but when Bruce goes on tour, I'm gone for however long that is, and they're okay with it.
So, I like those passions.
It's passionate.
So I really enjoy it. And I would say, and I'll use Hamilton as an example, because I went to see Hamilton, and Hamilton, those tickets were going on the secondary market for $2,000, even more at some point with the original cast with Hamilton. But Hamilton is going to play for 50 years.
Yes.
I think this is the last, first and last, is what I think.
For Broadway, but
for Broadway.
He's got
He'll still. But this is a different.
Yeah, this is. Yeah.
This is a different deal.
Now,
so, really happy I went. Really thankful.
I have heard that when the Bruce Springsteen show on Broadway is over, they're going to bring in another act, and I think you might enjoy this. Bruce Pearl, apparently, is
Bruce Pearl.
Yes.
They should be good. And he'll talk about breaking down Tennessee film, stuff like that. So the other thing I wanted to just say today, that I went to Christine Brennan's birthday party last night.
Oh, happy birthday, Christine.
Very, very nice. It was at La Piquette, which is down by Two Amy's on Macomb Street.
Okay.
Coming out of there, and Andy Poley was there, for example. Jeannie McManus and David were there.
Good food.
And I met Mark Allery's wife, who is the mother of Bella Allery. Bella Allery is a basketball player at Princeton who's great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, national team, good, great. And I met a bunch of people, and then I left. I get there early, and I leave early.
It's the move.
And I was leaving right about 7 o'clock when the heavens opened up.
Yeah.
And it really poured yesterday. And then all night long, lightning, significant lightning and thunder. Right
about 3:25 in the morning.
Yes, Michael is dead on. I think everybody at the table was woken up by the lightning, and that in my DC
Jesse snuggles up
when three or four times. Yes, the dogs at my mother's house got to sleep with the queen last night. They were not going to the kitchen last night.
Yeah, that's how that happened. So, and are we expecting that all? How Bootsy slept?
He slept through it all.
You did not.
I did not. Liz slept through it all.
No, but it's a very masculine instinct.
But I got to take. I took Walker out and patrol the house during that 6:30 time frame because we were locked into local weather starting at about 5:45.
Looking at the purple blobs.
Doug Kammer did about an hour and a half straight talking about the bow echo that was coming in through.
You told me we were going to get a tornado in Reston, D.C.
A derecho.
You know. So anyway,
did you take on water? You took on some water though, right, Mike?
We have one spot. We have a new roof, but we have one spot in the kitchen that has. It only happens 3 or 4 times a year during the largest downpour. So it's only 2 or 3 minutes, but enough to get in.
I had water coming in through the front door because there was those sideways sheets of rain at the height of it with the intense wind. So I had to paper towel the bottom of the door, and then I realized if I closed the door completely, because I had some gaps in there because it's an old door, that it would work. So I got the heaviest chair I could find and weighted it down.
Why didn't you put on a Mac and just go outside and exult in it?
Tony, when I was a reporter, I had to cover 3 hurricanes. They actually told me, please go to the spot where you will get pelted the hardest.
Sure, because makes the best
and cry video. On air and get killed. Yeah. Yeah. I will never go out in a storm unless I'm either being paid to do it or I have to rescue a kitten. That's it.
All right.
Yeah, you guys can have it.
I will take a break. We'll come back with email and our jingle.
That's right.
Kirsten.
It's a jingle from Kirsten.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wonderful. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Listen up. To me, chat is a for-profit business. Let me tell you, wait, I've got a read.
Awesome first leaf.
And we share
Yes, they do.
Buy them for just $12.
Just $12.
Bucks, just $12. We've got stuff to sell. Stuff to sell.
Thank you, Kirsten. It's always great to hear Kirsten. She's a beautiful, beautiful singer.
Yes, yes she is.
Let me thank Wilbon for coming on the show today and making up an entire story that he didn't think Houston was going to win, because of course he did. Let me thank today's sponsors, SeatGeek and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. We have people here today from Iowa, people here today from Portland, Oregon.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
Distance, some
welcome.
Distance.
Portlandia.
And somebody brought Chuckles. God bless them.
Chuckles are great. We'll split them up later. Zeke in Greenville, South Carolina. After listening to you discuss it for years, this weekend I finally watched the Eagles documentary on my Netflix machine. My mother-in-law and I loved every minute, while my wife was less enthralled. At one point commenting during part two, I would expect to see any of them in a Hep C commercial. More of a Buffalo Springfield fan, I guess. For those keeping score at home, 187 viewings for Mr. Tony, one for me. From Travis Symington, Winnipeg is in the middle of the country. In fact, there is a town 20 minutes east that is named Landmark and is the geographical center of the country. Always good to hear our southern neighbors are so self-aggrandizing that looking at a map is too tough. It's north, it's directly north of North Dakota, Winnipeg. They lost last night. Vegas beat them last night in Winnipeg.
That's right.
But Winnipeg, I got a note last night from Brian Polian. Brian Polian lived for a number of years in Winnipeg when Bill Polian was running the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Oh, right.
And I asked him what was there to do, and he did not respond.
Yes, that's accurate. BC hockey, a lot of my friends were
from Winnipeg?
Well, no, they were drafted in the NHL, and if the call ever came from Winnipeg or Edmonton, it was a, oh, shh.
Okay. From Matt Sikowitz in Bowie, Maryland, I was thumbing through an old alumni directory in 95 and was surprised to see a big like you gave permission to have his home address published. Now that I'm in possession of this tidbit, I would like to be named official stalker of the Tony Kornheiser podcast. With my arthritic hips and need to use the bathroom every 90 minutes, I'm requesting a reasonable accommodation, access to the Little House. Also, does your Wi-Fi signal reach the Little House? I'll bring over the New York style bagels. There are no New York style bagels on Sunday morning. From John Palmer in Stafford, Virginia, the mentoring program that I volunteer with is soon ending for the school year, and I'm wondering what sage bit of life advice I should leave in my parting note to my fifth grade partner. Never draw to an inside straight, leave the gun, take the cannoli, straight cash, homie, eat, drink, chatter. You know the advice that I give to everybody when they ask, and they always want my job, and I tell them,
get another job?
You're not going to get my job. They might get something like it, but my job's going to stop existing. Go to a room, find the smartest person in the room, attach yourself to that person, and see if it falls off on you. Joe Schultz in Columbia, Missouri, which is where the University of Missouri is. In all of this hubbub regarding the Caps, let's not forget about your beloved Washington Castles with their latest of six championships coming in 2015. Am I the only person outside of the Ein family who thought about this when listening this morning? Yes. Yes, I am. I'm kind of a loser. The Washington Castles did great, but I don't really think that the 1 week of World Team Tennis is comparable to an entire season of 82 games. From Jim Walsh in Atlanta, Georgia. Where else can you go for this type of conversation? On Monday's show, there were at least two, maybe more simultaneous conversations. How to get from D.C. to Winnipeg, 1,561 miles on 94 West. Where was Neil Young from, and what was his father's occupation? And is Winnipeg the capital of Manitoba? I'm not sure if that is information for life or 5 minutes of my life that I will never get back. From David Jones, today's show discussion about the Nats featured this gem from one Michael Kornheiser. Quote, let me just say, the Braves have played the Marlins many times, unquote. If by many you mean one series, then yes.
It's a big series.
Yeah. Weighted heavily.
From Kevin Ely in Mesa, Arizona. After listening to Monday's show, I believe it's time for Alexa to join the crew in studio to answer the multitude of questions asked during the podcast. Just think how wonderful it would be to have quick answers to life's important questions, such as, Alexa, where is Neil Young from? Yeah. Alexa, do I like this wine? Alexa, do you worry about a glitchy-looking mobile interface? Alexa, is your mother a prostitute? From Paul Scolari, Sunday evening, me to a group of fellow littles. Can't wait to hear Tony's take on the Caps tomorrow. I guarantee that he says they'll win the Stanley Cup. Connor Carroll, probably. He's only got two speeds, bandwagon and choking dogs. 6 minutes and 30 seconds into Monday's show. Tony, the Caps, the Washington Capitals, it now appears they're going to win the Stanley Cup. Boom. Affirmation, baby. I believe I had that. Thanks for being so predictively overreactive, Grandpa. From Greg Freitag, who is a consistent emailer from Syracuse, New York. All you need to know about the capital of Manitoba comes from a sign seen in an episode of The Simpsons, when the family drives from Springfield to Canada in search of cheap prescription drugs. Welcome to Manitoba. We were born here. What's your excuse? You're out on your bike tonight, everyone. As always, do wear white.
Honestly, what the f*** are we doing here?
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Honestly.
Used to work at Applebee's, now I'm Johnny Appleseed. Fruit of my labor paying off, I'm living happily. Never let the crew stop, see we on our way, 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 way. Cities that I show, we getting paid, 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 paid. But that don't mean that we gon' drop that energy. Until that shit's my salary, my day job is my enemy. Got ways to go till we hot, hot, hot. But we still stirring that pop, pop, pop. Delicious, I can already taste my wishes. Life is sweet as Hershey Kisses, and I'm waiting till everybody's eating. I wanna see you feasting. Till everybody eating. I wanna see you feasting.
So you can order anything, don't build on me. Anything sweet and juicy, baby, let's see. Cause everybody's eating. Tell them everybody's eating. So you can order anything, don't feel so me. Anything sweet and juicy, baby, let me see. Cause everybody's eating. Tell them everybody's eating.
My name is CJ, and I really hate weekdays. Trying to be cool, but my jokes always be lame. Yeah, my ass, I should quit lights rough. It's a dream, it's to be fame. But I still join the raffle, made a wish, put my name in the sweet stakes.
And I told you this, I yeah, right? Let me show you got that love too. Y'all ain't really understand what we wanna do. You acting lost like the first time you done shrooms. I'm tripping, am I high? I'm floating strawberry skies. And it's hard to describe, half is true and part of it's lies. Part of the fire, got a little impatient, got a lot on my plate and I'm tired of waiting. To that Grammy, we won't stop, stop, stop. This my family, keep it locked, locked, locked. Let's go. Girls, get ya. Becky, get ya. Brothers, get ya. Kids, get ya. Girls, get ya. Becky, get ya. Brothers, get ya. Kids,
so you can order anything, don't build on me. Anything sweet and juicy, baby, then see. Cause everybody's eating. Tell them everybody's eating. So you can order anything, don't build on me. Anything sweet and juicy, baby, let me see. Cause everybody's eating. Tell them everybody's eating.
Some nights where I'm straight up fucking crying because I know how bad I want this. Like being on stage and seeing everybody cheer and being up there with my family and giving it all. That's what heals me. That's what real be. This ain't nothing just, this ain't just fucking music, man. This is my life. So everybody's eating.